This morning, I want to talk about not dying on the wrong battlefield. Are you dying on the wrong battlefields of life? Now, you know, there's an old saying, God has never lost a battle, but there's a few he didn't show up for. You know that feeling? You go into your battle with your armor on your terms, knowing you're right, and God doesn't even show up. Now, I don't mind a battle if God's with me, but I never want to hear the words when I go out to battle, "Oh, Craig, I'm not with you." Don't die on the wrong battlefield. One of the most important things we need to teach our young ones coming up is that there are many battlefields in relationships. There are many battlefields in life of different natures. Don't die on the wrong battlefield. So I want to give some battlefields this morning and that we don't want to die on. And I want to begin by reading a very interesting text from the life of Samson. It's in Judges 16:20. It says, "Samson woke up, he thought, 'I will get out of this as usual and shake myself free.' He didn't realize that the Lord had left him." Ooh. These are some of the saddest words of tongue and pen. This man Samson had been laying in the lap of Delilah. This man had been pushing the moral limits all of his for years and years and years and years. And one day he gets a haircut, and one day he thinks he's going to rise up. Delilah says, "The Philistines are upon you," and he thinks he's going to rise up from his battlefield as at former times and kick a little butt and do, but he didn't realize the Lord had left him. What sad words. Sometimes we're on battlefields and we're fighting to the death and the Lord isn't with us anymore. Someone say amen. Get off that battlefield real quick. Now, I want to look at a combination of different battlefields we can die on, and these are the ones you don't want to die on. Now, a battlefield in life, there are some things that you should die for. As Christians, there are certain things in the structure of our belief that we should be able to risk our lives for. But most of the battles we're fighting in life are battles we do not need to die on, battlefields. Now, look at the first battlefield, being right or being reconciled. Uh-oh. Genesis 9, 22 and 23 says, "Ham, father of Canaan, saw his father naked. So he went outside and told his two brothers. Shem and Japheth took a blanket and laid it over their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's naked body. They turned their faces away so that they didn't see their father's nakedness." Now, did you know when Noah, after the flood, gets off the boat, plants a vineyard, gets those grapes, crushes them up, and gets bombed? So he's drunk out of his mind, and he's in his tent. Now, don't you love it the way God puts flesh and blood on the Bible figures? You don't think of Noah getting sauced. But he did. I guess it was a long time dealing with that ark. He thought, "I'm going in my tent. We're going to have a little fun." So he's drinking and drinking till he passes out. Now, he's there, passed out naked. One of his sons sees him naked, but I want you to notice something. His other two sons, out of respect, turn backwards, take a garment, and they cover the nakedness of their father. Here's the first battlefield. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? This is an important battlefield in life. Don't die on this battlefield. By that I mean, if you're in a situation and it's between you being right or reconciled, don't die. Don't be so right that you're willing to die on a battlefield where you're right and you're not choosing reconciliation. Did you know you can win an argument and lose the relationship? Christian, you can win an argument and lose the soul. It gets down in life sometimes to that simple question. A marriage will not survive unless you daily realize, hold on, I'm on that battlefield again. Do I want to be right or do I want to be reconciled? Because, you know, you can be dead right. You can generate a lot of heat and very little light. Mm-hmm. You can be so right, you're in isolation and you're alone for the rest of your life. Honey, in that relationship right now, in that friendship right now, in that ministry right now, in that job place right now, are you on that battlefield where you have to make a choice between being right or reconciled? If you are, let me tell you, be reconciled. Choose to be reconciled. Did you see the first son came in and started gossip about Noah's nakedness, right? He already went online. He already tweeted that. That already went on. He Facebooked that all over the world. And see, and God wasn't too happy about that. But Shem and Japheth had that understanding. You know, we don't want to be right. Dad is naked. It's the truth. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't the truth. He sprawled all out there, drunk, goat, smell his breath. That was all true. But do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? Do you want to cover someone's nakedness, which is what God would do? Notice they walk backwards in utter respect in order to cover the nakedness of their father. But God blessed them both for that, because when they were faced with this battlefield of being right or reconciled, they chose, we're going to be reconciled. You know, you can be right all day and you'll be by yourself. Because there are only imperfect people in this world, and if you don't know how to love imperfect people, then you're going to be alone. All right. Now he quit to preaching and going to meddling in the first, the first 5 minutes. So that's battlefield number one, right or reconcile. Now here's the next battlefield. The battlefield of essentials versus non-essentials. Romans 14, 19. So let's pursue those things which bring peace and which are good for each other. Did you know, here's the old way of saying it. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. This should be the guideline of our Christian life. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Here's my point. Did you know in relationship, there are some essentials. I mean, those are things you have to have. You know, they have to be breathing. You know what I mean? You know, we want to start right at the bottom. There are some essentials in relationship, you know. You know, and as a believer, you'll say, well, this person, I want them to know the Lord, and I want them to be strong because they're going to be my spiritual leader. And I want, you know, there's some essentials in a relationship, but there are also non-essentials in a relationship. You know, he rubs his nose a lot. Well, I will caution you, everything cute in courtship winds up being a torment in marriage. So that cute little nose rub, oh, isn't it cute the way he rubbed his nose? He's rubbing his nose again. That'll drive you bats in about 2 years, but that's another tape. That's another tape. But I want, there are essentials in relationship and there are non-essentials. And loved one, don't ever confuse the two. With it, when it comes to our faith, the essentials, yes, we'll fight to the death on the battlefield for the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the authority of the Bible, the virgin birth, the second coming, and salvation by grace through faith. There's certain things we'll fight to the death on in the essential department, but you know what? There's a lot of non-essentials. Whether or not you have a glass of wine with dinner, and that's a non-essential. Whether you speak in tongues, that's a non-essential. Mm-hmm. Whether when you pray, you go, woo, that's a non-essential. That do not die on that battlefield. Whether or not you're allowed, you feel liberty to eat vegetables all the time. Did you know Romans chapter 14 that I just quoted from? Paul had squibbling. He had squabbles in church. I know it's hard for you to believe that. Church people would squabble? No. Well, the vegetarians were mad at the meat eaters, and the meat eaters were lecturing the vegetarians. This is going 2,000 years ago back to the Roman church. Isn't it comfort to know the same sin on both sides of the cross? They were arguing, the vegetarians were arguing with the meat eaters, who were arguing with the vegetarians, and the teetotalers were arguing with everybody else. And this one was saying, well, you're not spiritual if you eat on that day, and if you don't worship on this day, and the Sabbath is Saturday, and if you're not worshiping then and you're worshiping on Sunday, you're in trouble. And Paul dealt with all kinds of issues. Read the whole 14th chapter of Romans. But did you know what most all of them were? Essentials? No. Non-essentials. We fight unto death as Christians on non-essentials. Whether you're sprinkled or immersed, non-essential. Non-essential. Whether you believe Jesus is coming pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, I'm a pan-tribulationist, I believe it's all going to pan out in the end. Those are all non-essentials. You say, Craig, those are important. Well, they're non-essentials. They're not essentials of the faith. That's not creedal orthodoxy. So you don't want to die on the wrong battlefield when it comes to essentials versus non-essentials. That means in your marriage, there are things that you should die for, okay? But there are other things you shouldn't, and you got to learn to let them go. Your mom is never going to be everything you thought she was going to be. Unite in the essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Don't die on the wrong battlefield. Don't do it. When I was in Nigeria preaching, the interpreter was doing fine until I used that phrase, don't die on the wrong battlefield. And he stopped, looked at me. The crowd looked at me, and I said, don't die for what's not important. Don't give yourself over for something that isn't absolutely essential. You know, I tried to say it like five different ways, and finally he got it in Yoruba and was able to say it. Now, that was a Boy, I'll tell you, a second feels like an hour when you're in front of 150,000 people. But you know, I don't know how many ways I have to say this to you. Don't die on non-essential issues. What is Paul's rule? Listen to what he says. When you're on the battlefield of essentials versus non-essentials, so let's pursue those things which bring peace and which are good for one another. Did you know what Paul said? Vegetarians, leave the meat eaters alone. Don't die on that battlefield. Just love them. Just love one another. If eating meat offends them, don't eat meat around them as long as the world stands. If having a glass of wine with your dinner is going to cause your neighbor to stumble, then don't ever drink a glass of wine at dinner in their presence as long as you live. You get the picture? Pursue love. Pursue that which would undergird the need of that person and show mercy to them. Don't die unless it's an essential. We quibble over so many non-essentials. In fact, everything the church is arguing about in the majority, I'd say 90%, if you go online, it's all non-essentials. So when you're on the battlefield and you're ready to die for something, make sure it's an essential. And moms, make sure it's an essential when you engage your kid to have that shouting match. You know, here's one thing I learned about raising a lot of kids is, you don't want to punish kids for being kids. You want to discipline them for attitudes that are inappropriate. You know, children are children. Don't discipline them for being a baby. You know what I mean? When they're just being a kid running around doing kid things and they knock a little something over because they're lost in play and they're having a good time, you don't need to come down on them with Mount Rushmore because that's not an essential. Now, if that attitude is perpetual and they won't give it up and it's disrespectful, and boy, this attitude, if it is not disciplined, it's going to affect the way they live their life, then that's an essential. Let's come down on that. But let's do that right. Someone say amen. See, I'm preaching and meddling at the same time. So we don't want to die on the wrong battlefields in life. And you can always ask yourself before you're all heated up for an argument with a friend, a loved one, a spouse, a child, whoever, is this worth me dying? Is this battlefield worth me dying on right now? I mean, do I really need to go to the mat? Is this an essential issue? Do I want to be right or reconciled? That's the first question. Second question, is this an essential or a non-essential? Because you can let essentials go. You know, my grandmother remarried very late in life, and I knew my step-grandfather for a long time. His name was Laurie Bullard, wonderful man, hero of World War I, was gassed in the mustard gas attacks, always had lung problems. But you know, when I would spout all my young silliness around him, he always had just a smile that he had fixed on his face. It must have been hard for him to hold it there, as idiotic as I was. But he just had a smile. When I'd get off on non-essential trends, and he'd just, he'd smile real big. Now, I know he thought I was out of my mind, but you know, it's gracious sometimes. It's part of our need as mature people who are reputed for wisdom to be able to know when to just shut up and smile a lot. And you don't need to jump into it. You want to be right or reconciled? Huh? Is it an essential or a non-essential? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Let's be loving. See, let vegetarians leave the meat eaters alone. Love them. Just love them. Don't get in the arguments if you don't get enough protein. And while you have tofu, yeah, tofu isn't enough. Soy products will build your estrogen in your throat. And I thought, no, they won't. I said to my son, Grant, soy products are not bothering me in the least. But you know how arguments go. One side or the other, they're both equally balanced. You know what? You want to be right or you want to be reconciled. Is it an essential or a non-essential? If it's a non-essential, leave it alone. Your blood pressure will be happy. Their blood pressure will be happy. All right. Now let me move on battlefield number three. Don't die on the wrong battlefield. This one is the tyranny of the urgent versus the important. Oh my goodness. Do you know there's a difference between the tyranny of the urgent and what's important? Jesus put it this way. I quoted him from John chapter 5:19. Jesus said to the Jews, I can guarantee this truth. The Son cannot do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what he sees the Father do. Isn't this something? The important things in life are the things God tells you to do. The important things are the things we're to focus on. But there's always a little something called the tyranny of the urgent that's always screaming at you. Have you ever noticed that when you're just trying to do the important thing, this thing God's called you to, that there are fires on distant hills screaming at you 24 hours a day? The tyranny of the urgent! Call me back right now! Do this right now! Run right now! You should be being a pastor. I'm telling you, it's like being one of the Keystone Cops. You know, this one calls and says, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then this one calls and says, my hair is on fire. And are you surrounded by the tyranny of the urgent? Always pressing in on you. Phone calls always pressing in on you. They want it now, 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 now. That's the tyranny of the urgent. Guess what? The urgent must never take place or precedent over the important in your life. See, what God tells you to do is the important thing. And did you know important things can wait? Your health can wait. Eating right can wait. Obeying God seems to be able to wait. Did you notice that? The important things in life are that which we need to focus on in our relationships. It's important that we get our health straightened out. It's important that we eat right. It's important that we grow emotionally. It's important that we obey the Lord when He tells us to do something. Anything else is the tyranny of the urgent. Remember Jesus said once, the poor you always have with you. The urgent you'll always have with you. It's real. It's a difficult battlefield. And I'm telling you, this is the hardest one, to be able to distinguish with wisdom the tyranny of the urgent versus the important. Okay, let me give you an example. I'm shutting my phone off because I'm going to go for a little walk just with me and God, because I need some time with God. I need some time where I don't have kids climbing all over me. I need some time when I'm not talking to you on the phone. I need some time when I'm just... And did you ever know when you do the important thing, that's an important thing to keep my mind from going off, right, and getting unhinged. I'm trying to take a walk, and I'm going to go. Every phone starts ringing. Tyranny of the urgent. From the east, from the north, from the south, from the west. My hair's on fire. His hair's on fire. Pastor, come now. Oh, my God. I got to talk to you now. No, 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 no. Did you know the tyranny of the urgent will always usually get our attention, and the Lord would have us use the wisdom and discernment to know when it is that we have to say, no, 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 no. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to do the important thing. I'm not going to do the urgent thing. It can wait. Did you know this verse I quoted from John chapter 5 occurs when Jesus is at the Pool of Bethesda? It was an ancient hospital. There were hundreds of sick people. Listen, hundreds of sick people. Now, if you were Jesus, what do you think you'd do? I mean, I'd think He would heal everybody. He didn't. He walks up to one guy, and He heals him. Because the important thing that God was doing that moment was healing one man. Jesus heals the one man, but surrounding him is all this urgent. Heal me. You know, what are you going to feel like if he raises that man up who's been laying sick 38 years and goes by your broken toenail or your arm's broke, you're in pain. You know what? Jesus was able to ignore the tyranny of the urgent and do the important. The important is what God's telling you to do. There's the needs of the world will always be out there. The tyranny of the urgent will always be out there. Come on, focus on the important thing and don't die on the wrong battlefield when it comes to that tension between the tyranny of the urgent. I remember the old story of the little boy who had seen all the starfish wash up on shore, just tens of thousands of them at the tide, and he was terrified. And he said, oh, they're all going to die. So this little boy, he's about 7 years old, he goes and he starts throwing all these starfish back into the water. And he's just exhausted. He has been doing this for hours. And he's holding one in his hand, and an old man comes up cynically and says, don't you know they're all going to die? And the little boy said, not this one. Not this one. That's the important thing to do. Yeah, the urgent's laying all around. And, you know, God's got to be big enough to take care of all the rest of that heavy lifting. But you see, Craig Johnson wants to focus on what's the important thing in this relationship, in this situation, in this phone call. When I'm in a phone call, I want to know the difference between the tyranny of the urgent in this phone call and the important thing that I need to say. Because, you know, people call you in crisis. You can't fix them. It's taken them 15 years to get that screwed up, and they want you to fix that in a 30-second phone call. How's that for expectations running high? Come on now. Come on, give me an amen at least. Now, when I'm confronted with that Mount Everest of the tyranny of the urgent, I have to only know what's the important thing. What can I say right now that is the one knot I can untie in this two-minute conversation? Because I certainly cannot calm all the tyranny of the urgent. You know what? The Lord will give you the wisdom like he did Jesus. You'll see the one person to heal. That's the important thing. Pick that, obey that, and put the tyranny of the urgent aside. Someone say amen. Don't die in the wrong battlefields. Oh, there's plenty of them out there. The last one, battlefield number four, moral issues versus wisdom issues. Oh, this is a hard one to know. Matthew 18:15 says, if a believer does something wrong, go confront him when the two of you are alone. Okay, if your brother sins against you, that's a moral issue. Deal with it. Sin is a moral issue. Deal with moral issues. Listen to this next verse, Acts 15:39-40. Paul and Barnabas disagreed so sharply that they parted ways. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to the Isle of Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left after the believers entrusted them to the Lord's care. Barnabas and Paul had an argument. You know, even Christian leaders can have arguments. The argument was this guy named John Mark had gone with them on an earlier missionary trip and screwed up big time. Paul didn't want to take him again. Paul didn't trust him. Barnabas said, I want to take John Mark and give him a second chance. Guess what Paul said? You go give him a second chance. He's not going with me. So they had a sharp contention. So Paul took a guy named Silas, went on their way, and Barnabas and John Mark went on their way. Now let me contrast these two. In Matthew 18, that speaks of when a literal moral sin has occurred, you go to your brother. Somebody's violated scripture, you go to your brother. Someone sinned against you, go to your brother. This second issue, this contention over John Mark and Barnabas and Paul, that wasn't a moral issue, it was a wisdom issue. It just was not a moral issue. There wasn't a Bible verse that could be cited to show that they had, you know, this is not like you committed adultery. This is not a clear-cut moral issue. Did you know most of the things that we squabble about are wisdom issues? Not moral issues. That means somebody may not want to do something morally wrong, but they're not wanting to do something wise. You know, sometimes my son and my kids want to go do things, and there's nothing morally wrong with what they want to do, but I just don't think it's the wisest thing for them to do. That's an important distinction to learn in your life. Remember, Mama used to say, others may, you may not. But Mama, everybody's going. Well, you know what? Others may. You may not. Sometimes there's nothing immoral about a situation that's presented to you, but it's just not wise. Come on. Maybe you wouldn't, if you met up with that old boyfriend or girlfriend, maybe you wouldn't do anything immoral, but how many of you know may just not be wise? Because when you hang around a slippery creek bed, you tend to slide in every time. So maybe it's a maybe it's not moral, maybe it's wisdom, but here's a battlefield. Pray for wisdom to know when you're dealing with an actual moral thing or a wisdom thing. That's a very important, important category distinction. Because sometimes Christians aren't making decisions between moral and immoral things. Sometimes the enemy of best is always good. Did you know that? The enemy of best is never evil. The enemy of best is always good. It's a good thing. It's a good friendship. It's a good relationship. The enemy of best is good. So sometimes you may look at it and go, well, that's a good thing. It's not immoral, but is it wise for you to put yourself in that situation? Now, when you're on that battlefield wrestling, let's review now. Number one, battlefield number one, you want to be right or you want to be reconciled? Number two, essentials versus non-essentials. Number three, the tyranny of the urgent versus the important. And number four, moral issues versus wisdom issues. These are four battlefields. And as I mentioned, God has never lost a battle, but there's a few he hasn't shown up for. And I don't want to fight any of those anymore. You know, life is too short for us to die on the wrong battlefield. You know, if you're in a situation this week, you know, and you say, I'm right. Yeah, but do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? What's more important? Take the high road. Yeah, but I know I'm right. Well, you can be dead right. But that's very cold because there's no relationship in your life if you want to be right all the time. Nobody wants to be around people that are right all the time. It's just not cozy and warm. You're the one that has to decide whether or not you're going to die on the battlefield of a non-essential. Now, here's the deal. In the Christian world, we make big deals about non-essentials. Your view of prophecy, or whether you wear a jacket at church, or whether you raise your hands in worship, or whether you talk in tongues, or whether you this, or whether you that, or whether you jump up and down and flip backwards. Those are all non-essentials. Use the law of love, which says, I don't want to offend anybody in so much as it's in my power to not offend them. But you know what? Hey, I don't mind someone swinging on the chandeliers. I want to live to the day for us to have a building where we have chandeliers, and I need to tell people, you need to hold back, saints. You're going too far. I'd love to be able to tell some people to back off a little bit. Wouldn't that be wonderful, right? But you see, as we're leading the lives of others, we need to know what battlefields are worth dying on. And that's all a matter of wisdom. And I pray that God give you that wisdom, that this week they look through you, a window to eternity that can choose the right battles. And by the way, if you're caught in the middle of a battle and you're just dying, you're bleeding all over, this is like Troy, you know, you can get out. It's time to get out. You know, sometimes just throw your sword down, throw your shield down and go, you know what? I'm on the wrong battlefield. Pastor preached it to me, and I'm just walking off. You may have a lot invested in the battlefields you're on and the battles you're in, but you know what? You can always drop them right there, turn around and do the right thing, because God will bless you. Father, we thank you right now. We don't want to die on the wrong battlefields. Lord, show us what the wisdom of heaven would be. Show us what an essential is versus a non-essential. Show us whether we want to be right or we want to be reconciled. Show us what the important thing is versus the tyranny of the urgent, Lord. Show us wisdom issues versus moral issues. We want to be Christians who are noted by our wisdom in discerning best and good. Lord, we thank you that you will make us children who are wise in our generation. You'll make us Christians who are wise and a delight to be around, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can you give the Lord some praise? Can you give him some praise?